Christopher Media, the Toddzilla X-Pod.
I don't like shooing people away, but it's good practice sometimes. Some people like me, some people can't fucking stand me. I'm polarizing, I get that. But I think it's fair that I should come with a warning label. And I should get that out there before you stumble into something thinking it's going to be something it's not.
The Toddzilla X-Pod on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Hello, and welcome to another Weedsman Podcast Nugget, brought to you by the Weedsman Podcast from Christopher Media, recorded here in Asmacore Studios. My name's Aaron. Today I'm joined by Chris and Rob, our usual crew. We talk about movies and TV shows. There's some spoiler alerts, so if you're not up on Sopranos or True Blood, or if you haven't seen the movie A Most Wanted Man, you might want to tread carefully. This is part two of our Smoketacular Christmas special. So we, of course, talk some more about our favorite Christmas songs and our favorite Christmas movies. I hope you enjoy and stay high.
Watch out.
I was trying to watch that Gone Girl earlier.
Okay.
Did you see that, Rob?
No. Any good?
Oh, man, it's so annoying.
Who's in it?
It's Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And a bunch of other people.
No, I didn't get a chance to see
Doogie,
that.
Doogie Howser and Madea.
Sounds okay. Madea.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
What was it?
Tyler Perry's good in it.
Oh, nice.
You know, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry.
Oh, yeah, they made a baby and it's Tyler Perry.
But I don't know. I'm going to watch the rest of it because I got to know at least how it comes out, but...
Oh, you watch it that far? You got to finish it?
The beginning is, like, agonizing. I just within the first 15, 20 minutes, there's numerous times where I will shut the fucking thing off. Because it's all that, like, really snappy, witty dialogue that nobody has ever actually uttered in real life in the moment.
Okay.
And only comes out of the heads of writers imagining how people talk. Thought you were at least going to hit me with the Violent Femmes version of this.
I fucking knew he was going to.
Well, doesn't he...
Tried to trot out the version. Not a lot of people here.
I liked it.
Actually, fuck that. If you're going to play some Violent Femmes, can you play Kiss Off?
Sure.
That's a better song anyway.
Oh, okay. That's a,
yeah.
The movie's called Gone Girl, but all right.
Yeah, Gone Girl. I have a feeling the ending's going to be very unexpected. Lately, I seem to have, not intentionally, because I didn't know how any of the movies ended before I watched them, but it seems like I've watched a lot of movies that just end very weird. I kind of love movies that just end. Like, I love the Sopranos, not a movie, but the ending of Sopranos, spoiler alert. It just ends. It's not, they don't do one of those things where like, well, here's where we have to stop really telling you all the details of what's going on, but trust us, he gets married. And nobody dies, and somebody has a baby, and they like keep going into the future. You know,
okay.
Everything's going to be all right.
An interview with the creator of The Sopranos, and he finally like just snapped an interview and was a dick about it, and said, "All right, fine, he didn't die. Fucking, are you happy now? Like,
right.
I wanted to leave that open ended for everybody, but every time I get interviewed, everybody asks me about it.
You'd have to be a fucking idiot to not get it."
Right.
Because he's kind of doing a little montage scene in that final part, mm-hmm. in that final ending scene. And the music is Don't Stop Believin'. And that's what it's about. Like, you've watched... I was a big fan of it. I watched every single episode. You know, was really kind of upset that it was going to come to an end. It was something that I was looking forward to constantly.
Right.
And I was super involved with the characters, especially Tony Soprano. And the thing that The thing is that you watch this person dig himself into a hole, just destroy his life, and get himself in these fucked up situations over and over again, and right. come out of it, and you kept coming back knowing that, believing that Tony Soprano is going to survive no matter what, because you are invested in this character.
Right.
And I think what he was saying was literally, don't stop believing. That, you know, I have to stop telling this story, right? It can't go on forever, but it doesn't mean that you have to stop believing that this person exists.
You have put some thought into this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of thought here. Let him do it.
Yeah, it's very hopeful. It's because there's this implied threat in the scene as well. There's two men who you don't know, and they enter together. Nobody pulls. I don't believe you see a gun. Maybe you do see a gun.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a gun.
Yeah, there was no gun. There was just everything was kind of implied.
Yeah,
but that was always everything with Tony Soprano was there. At any moment, you felt like somebody could come up and try and kill him. Because many people died in that, and they went down quick.
Right.
You never really saw it coming except for, the bear. What's his name? Big Pussy.
Yeah.
When they had to kill Big Pussy. That was the one where you saw it coming.
Remember that guy was everywhere? No, it's I haven't seen him in, like...
Because everybody loved Big Pussy.
Yeah, Big Puss.
What was his...
Get your fat ass over here.
Bumpinsaro? What was that, his last name? Bumpinsaro?
Bumpinsaro.
What was that guy's name? Fucking... I don't remember that guy. Victor something Pastorius or something. I don't know.
Vincent Pastor. That was a guess.
Oh.
All right, I watched... Oh, no, I can't. I won't tell you that. Because that'll be a spoiler alert for Rob, too, if he ever wants to watch it. You're never going to watch it.
What?
The Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that I was talking about the other day.
What was the name of it?
The spy thriller, A Most Wanted Man.
I think I might be able to watch that. I mean,
yeah.
Is it worth watching?
It's slow.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I was never a big fan. I mean,
well, I just
no disrespect to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It just ends, right?
Like kind of like he did,
right?
Yeah.
Too soon,
it right? Well, no. We're good.
No, it there's a lot of build up to kind of this scene that. Ends unexpectedly and just stops. Like, there's no words spoken. I think he says, like, fuck. Like, his whole operation goes to shit and he just says, fuck. Gets in his car. They follow him for a little bit. He gets out of his car. They don't even follow him into his apartment. And that's it. Over. End of story. And that's just real life.
Real life shit.
You know?
Yeah, that, for sure.
I don't appreciate... I'm trying to think. There's been many, especially with, like, TV shows. They do that a lot, too, though. But they... If they've got to wrap it up, they project out into the future. Oh, True Blood, man. Spoiler alert on True Blood if you haven't caught up on it yet, but...
Okay.
That ending, they do that, like, oh, we're shooting 2 years in the future, 5 years in 10 years. Everybody's having kids. Everybody's getting married. Right. And I'm just like, what the fuck, man?
It's too much, man. Calm down.
So what you're telling me is nothing interesting ever happened again.
Yeah.
For years and years and years. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I want to be left
that's
with.
That's what happened.
There was this 5 to 6 year period in their lives where everything was crazy, and now they're just back to normal.
Now they're fine.
People.
That show totally dried up at the end anyway. I mean...
Well, how many more people could Sookie fuck?
Right. You know? Right. I mean, she could go through the whole town, but I mean, imagine the venereal diseases she was supposed to.
Wolf herpes.
Oh.
That was what the last whole last season was based around. Was basically
wolf herpes.
Yeah, wolf herpes.
No, vampire herpes. It was like or vampire AIDS. It was killing everybody.
Yeah,
that's right.
All
right,
so here's a song. I don't know if you're allowed to play this anymore at Christmas.
What?
I still haven't heard my waitress's song. Why would we not be allowed to play this?
Because of the title?
I don't know.
Does it involve a bomb?
This is part of an Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie.
It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's music in the air.
Let's see, I'm
Weird Al.
I didn't know this one.
His like one Christmas song.
Oh, okay.
It's Christmas at Ground Zero.
I was like it. No, I don't think it's allowed to be played anymore.
I don't think it's his best work.
Even on with Weird Al. Even with Weird Al.
No, I agree with that.
I like a lot of Weird Al. I enjoy Weird Al.
There's a lot better out there. I'll take White and Nerdy over this. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
Well, what's your favorite Christmas song, Rob?
Do you have one?
Mine? Mm-hmm. I like all the old school classic stuff, like Bing Crosby, like old school Christmas.
You can't go wrong with that.
Like, that's my, that voice. And, like, the whole, like, orchestra, like, it hits you and makes you feel like you like, enjoy Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
As I'm, getting older, I feel like I should be enjoying it more, so it's a good feeling now. Like, I'm going to go see my family in Florida.
Rob.
Thank you.
Is it snowing outside?
I'm waiting for it to snow.
Oh, God, that's going to be winter officially in like a week.
Now I'll be in Florida. I was waiting for that.
Why has it got to be white?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's got to be a white Christmas.
I would prefer a beach. And
white sand Christmas.
Yeah, white sand. I'll take white sand over white snow.
All right, so this is what you're looking for there, Aaron?
Yeah, that sounds right.
What is this one?
Christmas rapping by the Waitresses.
You never heard this song?
Mm-mm.
I don't think they play the intro usually.
Oh, fucking this song.
This song rocks.
What's that?
Look at that guy get down on that fucking bass.
I like it. Like, I've never heard this before.
80s punk new wave Christmas
like
song.
Yeah, it sounds like a Tom Club.
I'm waiting for something to identify with. Yes, I have heard this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of these songs. Oh, that song.
Yeah, this is a good song. I like it.
No, you don't.
It's catchy. It's catchy, Aaron.
You would shut it off if you were driving around and this came out.
Turn this piece of shit off. I don't want to hear this. Huh?
Huh? I don't know. If I had to pick one off the top of my head, you just skewer me on this one.
What?
If you wish.
What do you got?
Cool. What about, there's another Bing, was it Bing Crosby and David Bowie that did the little drummer boy? That is just fucking creepy.
I don't think I've ever
seen
heard
that.
That
shit?
No. I don't.
There's a video for it they used to play on VH1 all the time. Oh, man.
Oh, pull it up.
Why is my tongue not
They
starting?
Both look like reanimated corpses in that shit.
Wow. That sounds creepy.
There it is.
Oh yeah, I've heard this. 20
seconds later. I like this version. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I like it.
It still sounds like the beautiful people.
It does. That is exactly what I was
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
It's Gary Hoey doing the Grinch.
Oh, is this on one of his ho ho hoeys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure from working where you used to work, I'm sure you heard this 1,000 times every year.
They didn't play a whole lot of Gary Hoey on GC Radio.
Oh, wow.
But this might have been played on there. I don't know. This is a good holiday song. I've heard a lot of different versions of this one.
16-year-old in me.
Yeah. I think I'm up to five. I might have to use two hands to count them now. Let's get one more topical thing out of the way. Or we're still fresh.
Right.
Because another interesting thing that happened yesterday. Traffic Safety Facts, a paper that came out from the U.S. Department of Transportation, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA.
All right.
Understanding the limitations of drug test information, reporting and testing practices, and fatal crashes, right? You know what this is talking about. This is a subject that we've talked about numerous times on this podcast.
Right.
Because people like to throw around these statistics.
Love to.
Like, oh, well, you know, there's a certain percentage of drug-related car crashes where marijuana was found on the premises, or the person tested was found to have THC in their system, or was found to be impaired in some way.
Anything dependent on them.
Right. So they looked at the data and analyzed it a little deeper and came up with some conclusions. So they have the raw data there that kind of, I said data and then data. Like, I can't make up my own mind on that word. Where do you guys
choose
land?
What you want. Right? Whatever you want.
No, I'm asking you guys. What do you say?
Data.
You say data?
Yeah.
I think either or, whatever mood I'm in. Sometimes
right.
It's data, sometimes it's data.
Is this Why the real data?
Right.
Give us, what did give they? Give me the data, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It's all from data. Look at the data.
See, data. Look at the data.
Data, look at the data.
Either way you slice it.
I bet you that
it?
Was on a fucking episode of Next Generation at some point.
Oh, either sure. way you slice it, it's kind of a weird word. Like, it's one of those where you say it a lot and it's like, it doesn't make sense anymore. Anyway, we've talked about data versus data so long, it's lost its meaning.
Yeah. Right. So just tell us about the data.
So you can look at raw numbers and say, oh, you know, the percentage of people who are involved in fatal car accidents and found to have THC in their system is skyrocketing.
Because you're looking for it now. We've went over this. You weren't looking for it before.
I'll just give you the bullet points on their report. The majority of drivers were not tested for drugs. Only 41% and 40% of drivers were tested in 2008 and 2012, respectively. So this is looking at a period between 2008 and 2012. There are typically higher testing rates of drivers who died in crashes, 65% higher, compared to surviving drivers, only 20%. A driver who tests positive for a drug is not necessarily impaired by the drug. Just because it was in your system doesn't mean that you were experiencing any of the effects of said drug.
Okay.
There is no consistent set of policies or procedures for drug testing across states, and decreases in the cost of drug testing may have led to an increase in the number of people tested, as well as the range of drug types tested. So it goes on. These facts, plus the information presented above, demonstrate that we cannot infer whether drug driving has increased. Similarly, we cannot know that the extent to which drug driving differs across states.
So we don't know. We're not sure. Maybe not applicable to your area. The data we do have. See, I just said data right there, naturally.
Yeah. The reason that's interesting is maybe this will be the final word on this, and we don't have to read about it anymore, about how marijuana is causing people to crash their cars.
Yeah, but it's still more data for the other side.
Right.
You know, they've qualified it with all these things, but the other side's just going to see what they want to see and extrapolate what they want to, you know, what they need to keep
their crusade
going.
Hey, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman Podcast on Facebook and following us on Twitter at TheWeedsman420. TheWeedsmanPodcast@ChristopherMedia.net is the email. You can subscribe to the Weedsman Podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find the Weedsman Podcast on Stitcher Radio. We got you covered. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Hey, please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. When you buy something, Amazon is going to kick back some money to help keep Christopher Media going. And if you are looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like the Weedsman Podcast. We come out Tuesdays and Fridays. It seems to be working out. Unregimented comes out every Monday and Thursday. M&M Question Everything comes out on Sundays. And the Toddzil X-Pod, whenever the hell he fucking feels like it. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings is one-day fantasy sports. No being locked into one team for an entire season. You can draft a new team every day. Christopher Media listeners winning real money every day at DraftKings. Please click through the banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Sign up today at DraftKings.com.
Rob, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Home Alone.
Oh, look at you.
Does that count as a Christmas movie?
Oh, it fucking
I don't
sure
know.
Does.
I make it it, is
it
to
sure
me.
Does. It's a Christmas movie to me.
I was going to steal something and put it in here.
Go ahead. You grab for it like, huh?
Rob, you're blown out.
Yeah, I'm totally done.
Pouring cold coffee into a fucking plastic cup.
You know what? Anything to get the throat going.
Are you
going to
drink all that?
Yeah.
Dude, you need some water.
No.
Young man, you're going to be up all night.
I'll be fine. I'll sleep tomorrow.
You can't drink that. It's after 11.
Mm.
You'll never get to sleep. We have church in the morning.
Yep, Christmas memories.
Oh, this is for sure.
Am I the only person in the world who really never enjoyed any part of this movie?
Yes. Kids don't even like
don't
this
know.
Movie. I'm going to show it to them.
I'm pretty sure
over.
They don't.
Check this movie out.
Whoops,
Joe
Pesci,
Daniel Stern's ass.
You coffee mate. Sir.
I didn't like Macaulay Culkin until he got a little bit older. And did
Party Monster.
Even before Party Monster, but I really liked that movie. I think, wait a minute, maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was one of his brothers. But the secret Life of Altar Boys, I think it was called.
Oh dear. This is the Christmas show.
No. It was something like that.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie? Oh, I already know the answer to his.
What's the answer then?
Elf.
Elf. No.
Elf. Elf. Not Elf.
Elf.
That's right. Elf the movie. The Christmas one. No, The Dangerous Lives. The Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was Kieran Culkin that was in that movie.
Kieran.
I take it back. So that's what it was. I was like, your brother's cooler than you.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
I think Party Monster was probably the first performance of Macaulay Culkin's that I enjoyed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! This is it. This is one of my favorite parts, too.
I love this movie, too, as well.
I know him.
This is the way Faison's like looking at him the whole time, like, holy shit, this guy is like,
okay,
out of his mind.
Calm down, sir. Yeah. That is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. You smell like beef and cheese. You sit on a throne of lies.
Okay, so Macaulay Culkin, man, got his start early. 85 was an uncredited Halloween kid in The Midnight Hour, which is, they still fucking show that movie with who is in The Midnight, the guy from Gilligan's Island, right? Wasn't it
Little Buddy, Bob Denver?
No, the skipper.
Alan Hale. Wow. Where'd that
Whoa.
Come from?
Yeah, wow. Good for you. The Knowledge Bank.
Anyway, or maybe it's a different one. Oh, this is like a horror movie. What am I thinking of then? Isn't there a movie? I thought there was a TV movie called The Midnight Hour with Alan Hale in it.
He was...
At Eddie Van Halen? Covered the Midnight Hour by Eddie Wilson Pickett?
He was in The Equalizer.
Ken Wall?
You remember The Equalizer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird-ass show.
Real weird.
Oh! How could I have forgotten? I have to take everything that I said back.
Uh-oh.
He was in Uncle Buck.
Yep.
Uncle Buck.
He was the kid in Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah,
the fucking for dishes. Sure.
Yep.
Are you married? No. Why? It's a long story. Do you have any kids? No. Why? It's an even longer story. Yeah, he sits there and grills John Candy.
What did he ask him about, like, how many nose hairs he has or something? Whoa, and he was in Jacob's Ladder? Have you seen that movie?
Are you talking about the one with Tim Robbins?
Yep, Tim Robbins.
Where he comes back from Vietnam.
And Danny Aiello.
Yeah, that movie's crazy.
I love that. He was a victim of a program where they tested an experimental drug on these soldiers.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Classic. You gotta love him.
That's like a total nod to Dragnet.
Yeah.
You know, I read recently that he dated Mila Kunis for like years and years.
And I shouldn't hit that up.
He's been inside Mila's Kunis.
Mila's. Yeah, he was regularly for a
Mila
long time.
Mila Kunis.
I guess she broke up with him because she wanted someone, like, they wanted to have kids and all that crap. But, yeah, he was.
And Ashton was like, totally.
She was like, I ain't giving birth to no fish lip babies.
Oh,
you
man.
You fucking kidding me?
Where do we pay?
Whoa.
Let's just pay for YouTube.
See, there's a big gap. There's a pretty big gap on IMDb on his history here. In 1994, he made Richie Rich.
Yeah.
And then in 2003, he did Party Monster.
Oh.
Wow. Big gap there.
I remember that. Dude, yeah. John Larroquette was in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
This music is not enhancing this conversation.
Name me one movie worth rewatching that John Larroquette was in.
I challenge you, sir. Madhouse.
Richie Rich.
Oh, Madhouse.
Incorrect.
Madhouse. It's got him and Kirstie Alley and a whole bunch of other people. He's in Night Court.
Was he in Beetlejuice?
That's barely worth rewatching. He was not in Beetlejuice. That was Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
It was.
Sorry. Girl Scout cookie in my coffee.
And your lungs. In your head, man.
In my head.
It's in your head.
Watching Beetlejuice now and seeing Alec Baldwin, it's so weird. Like, how he just grew wider.
I agree.
You know, you could just...
It's unexplainable.
You could go from young Alec Baldwin to old Alec Baldwin by adjusting the horizontal hold on your TV.
Right.
If you still had one. If your TV was 30 years old.
What was the one he did? The Miami Blue or... Pacific Blue.
What? Who?
Alec Baldwin.
What, a TV show? Movie?
No, it was a movie.
A movie? He's done a lot.
Real Blue or... I don't know. It was a weird movie. He had the crazy bleached out hair.
All right, let's get this nightmare over with.
This guy's so versatile, he can change his personality, his voice, and even his face.
Not bad. There's another one. Do you say versatile or versatile?
And today we're counting down our picks for Alec Baldwin's top 10 moments.
Did you say action?
Yes, action.
Did you say louder, please?
I'm sorry.
Well, Glengarry Glen Ross is going to be in there.
TV or not TV?
It's probably going to be number one.
That's Josh's line. Your line.
Or are these all going to be from 30 Rock?
Those cards are a little confusing.
Sure, he became a huge movie star, but some of Baldwin's best moments happened on the small screen, and not just on SNL and 30 Rock.
All this creative crap. Acting.
His first big part was on the risque soap opera The Doctors,
followed
with another soap role, this time on the primetime Dallas spinoff, Knots Landing.
I was hoping they would show some more SNL stuff.
Yada, yada, yada. He eventually cracked us up with memorable guest spots on our favorite sitcoms.
Oh, there we go.
Classic Ross.
Number 9, Sex Sells.
Unzip me.
What?
With their teeth.
The 90s.
Today, Baldwin is known as a character actor who adds his trademark and confidence to nuanced roles.
Salty.
But there was a time when Alec...
You're the canteen boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I remember that.
Bad guy. Baldwin always used to find a way to
there's the movie I'm talking about.
Which is probably how he ended up with his first wife. And just because he's gotten a little older doesn't mean he's slowed down in the lady department.
Oh, that movie was awesome.
Well, you can't unsee that.
I'm gonna be sick!
The Shadow Knows.
I remember that movie.
Number 8. Baldwin casts a long shadow.
This is in their top 10.
Alec Baldwin is a lot of things.
This is
versatile
horrible.
Actor?
Yeah.
Billionaire playboy?
Good things.
Action hero?
Da sopocolate gochime?
Yeah, we were surprised too. In 1994, he took on the role of The Shadow, and it wasn't a huge hit.
Call it an implosive, explosive, submolecular device.
Or an atomic bomb.
Hey, that's catchy.
But it's one of those awful movies you can't help but love. Baldwin gives it the camp factor it deserves. After all, this comic book character uses psychic abilities to fight crime.
Hey, how will you know where I am?
I'll know.
He's still narrow at this point, by the way.
That's his only out-of-character part. And I can't fight
this feeling anymore. There he is, wide.
Really?
Number 7.
They're out of their minds.
It's well established.
This is bullshit.
Baldwin plays a perfect businessman, doctor, or guy wearing a suit.
Why are you wearing a tux?
It's after 5.
It's after 6. What am I, a farmer?
But we think he shines just as much when he's doing something atypical, like, say, singing. Summer we in,
summer
What?
Or maybe doing some sort of crazy voice or accent.
I masturbate to the Teletubbies.
Okay, that one may not have been that good.
You come over here and say that to my face.
Okay, that one's arguable.
What the?
But what about Generalissimo?
I feel it.
What is that?
In my belly.
Or this.
Je m'appelle Monsieur Nobeck.
All right, we pick old Jewish guy as our favorite.
Mazel, mazel. Good things.
I thought that was number 6.
What?
You skipped one.
Number 6. Baldwin's a lone voice in the wilderness.
America. Whiskey. Liberal.
If you've ever thought to yourself, boy, that Alec Baldwin's a great voice, you wouldn't be alone.
They wanted me to record every word in the dictionary to preserve the perfect American accent in case of nuclear war.
He's a prolific voice actor, whether he's playing himself.
Billy Baldwin!
I'm Alec Baldwin.
He does a lot of commercial voiceover stuff.
Butch.
A lion.
It's nonsense.
Santa Claus.
Oh, good.
Any number of bad guys.
I got you right where I want you.
Or simply the narrator, we love to hear him speak.
Look into my eyes and say that again.
However, some of his voice recordings are less good.
You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being.
Look at this.
Yeah, they had to throw that in here.
Number 5. The God
Complex. I saw nothing wrong with what he was saying on the tape, by the way.
Baldwin is
he was calling his bitch Brad out.
More than
so what? Sometimes kids gotta be called out.
However, nothing beats the narcissism and God complex exhibited in his speech from the 1993 film Malice.
Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis.
Some context. Baldwin's character is a young and brilliant surgeon accused of performing a questionable medical procedure, despite the objections of his colleagues.
You ask me if I have a God complex?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Wait, did I pass that the wrong way?
Subtle.
And this sideshow is over.
Number 4. Baldwin's pale as ice.
This is not a movie, this is my fucking life.
Baldwin loves to sink his teeth into bad guy roles, but he's rarely this bad.
Need to go to the hospital, huh?
In 2003's Whoa. The Cooler, he's a Vegas casino owner.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
With
I forgot about that.
Town, and
this is a good movie.
The fashion way.
I'm going to have to watch that again. No. Oh, yeah.
Baldwin earned Oscar and Golden Globe nods.
The Cooler.
And we figure the way he bounces between brutish villainy and wistful contemplation helped earn him the recognition.
What's your point?
My point is you don't with paradise.
Now, Haley! King Shaw!
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need me to enunciate?
Yes, I do, sir.
King Shaw!
Before Saturday Night Live, did you know Alec Baldwin was funny? Did you know he could do impressions?
Hello, everybody!
Oh, it's Tony Bennett.
He's the kind of guy who could easily take himself too
yes.
seriously. But SNL changed that.
No, that
Oh, wow.
Baldwin has hosted a record number of times, and with each appearance comes a new, most memorable sketch.
Craziest, most coins I've ever seen.
What's best? When he makes fun of himself?
Always be cobbling.
Would you, rub some bug repellent on my chest?
Nope, it's almost definitely
yes.
this.
But the thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
Number two, executive decisions.
What can I do for you?
GE/Cabletown suit Jack Donaghy is a hilarious TV character in itself. But tack on Baldwin's acting skills, comedic timing, low talking, and personal politics, and 30 Rock is a one-man masterwork.
A live television special with fireworks. They can do shapes now. One time I saw a cowboy hat.
7 years of TV domination spawned multiple best moments, but there are some standouts.
How does it work?
Need more? Try Tracy Jordan's family therapy session.
I only act out because I want your love. God almighty!
Honestly, Baldwin's just constantly Reaganing.
Make way. I'm Reaganing.
You think I'm f***ing with you?
Number one, Baldwin's got brass balls.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
I am not f***ing with you.
Based on a Pulitzer Prize winning
There's
David
the Glengarry Glenn Ross.
1992's yeah. Glengarry Glenn Ross is full of Hollywood's finest. But even so, Baldwin is the most memorable part of the film.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Playing a role that was written specifically for him, Baldwin
the
comes
most
in
quoted,
and
I don't know if it's
to
the most memorable
sales
part.
Force, like the coach of any losing team at halftime.
A always B B C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
And the result is one of cinema's most famous speeches.
It takes brass balls to sell. Go and do likewise, gents.
Do you agree with our list?
What the hell were you thinking?
What do you think is Alec Baldwin's
There's best another Baldwin David Mamet film that they left off their list
For
completely.
More top tens about your favorite actors, be sure to subscribe
it's,
to
WatchMojo.com.
Timbern!
There's another movie that they left off their list. Another David Mamet film, actually. Have you ever seen State in Maine?
Mm-mm. I've heard of it. I think I have, actually.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's in that, and also William H. Macy was in The Cooler with him.
The Cooler.
And it's about a film crew that comes into a small town to film for their location and all the shit that happens because of it. Very entertaining, very funny film. Hey, Coulson was in that movie, too.
Oh, really?
Clark Gregg.
Gregg.
Of course. Him.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that guy.
He played a character called Doug
McKenzie.
Good old
Coulson. You know.
You wind me up, boy?
Yeah, buddy.
Let's close out with David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
There we go.
You still got that?
The Holiday Smoketacular.
Smoketacular. I still like that CBS special.
Yeah, there were others, though, too.
Oh, really?
Every station had their own little bumper for when they were going to release something that was not part of their regular programming.
Hello.
So you'd know right away.
You're the new butler.
You go to watch Dukes of Hazzard, and it's like... And you're like, what?
I guess it's changing. It does that a lot, doesn't it?
Is this it?
Oh, I'm David Bowie. I live down the road. Oh,
yeah.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he? I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in. Come in. Come on in.
It's a sweet-ass place.
Well, definitely, yeah.
Dark Shadow.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Yeah, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either
Like
way.
David Bowie would not have heard of Bing Crosby.
What kind of
right.
Well, mostly contemporary stuff, too.
It's coincidence.
You like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I like
Are you
John
that fellow that dresses up
and
like a woman?
Yeah.
Harry Nilsson.
Ooh, you go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a six-year-old son. And he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household, Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agents sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the
Asians?
Things that other families do. We sing the same
I thought he said agents.
I even never thought that
was Asians.
He did say Asians, didn't he?
This is my son's
favorite. I don't know.
Indeed, I love it.
I was like, what did he say? Asians or Asians?
Oh, wow. Here it comes.
What was all that acting shit for?
This is some retarded Christmas special.
Oh, okay. The build-up.
Well, yeah, he goes and plinks out a few notes on the piano and a whole orchestra starts.
Right. That's a summon.
A newborn king to any communication. They both started the same song in perfect harmony.
Our finest gifts
hey,
we bring.
We're both down.
Well, no, that's plausible. These guys are professional singers.
Right.
Peace on earth. Can it be?
They both have lovely voices. I don't know. I think it's just poor selection of song. Especially witnessing this after that really stiff conversation they have in the beginning.
Right.
Are you ready? There's a breakdown.
Is it? Is it cool?
Is.
I don't know. So peace on
earth. The self-righteous sadness breakdown.
I bought the singles compilation that came out.
Oh,
there's
nice.
A 3-disc version that had a little bonus mini disc.
Nice.
Ding.
Care enough for his
Las Vegas Symphony Band.
They're breaking it the fuck down.
Yeah.
I pray my wish will come true. It's for my child and your child.
This is like Young Americans era Bowie, I'm guessing. What year is this?
Yeah.
I play my day for him when men of goodwill.
He looks pretty swanky.
Young buck, he's spry.
Was this 80s? Like early 80s? This is either early 80s, latest it could possibly be is 78, I'm saying.
Can it be?
Can you carbon date that shit for me? None of us are as old as we look. Thank you, Bing.
you can
say that again. Out of 10, Richie Rich got 5.1.
On what?
Whatever IMDb uses.
That's pretty low.
I'm surprised it got that
still
much.
Still talking about Macaulay Culkin?
That's pretty high for that wow. caliber of film, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Another film that I watched recently was Venus in Fur. Which was a, what's his name?
Oh, boom. September 11th, 1977.
1977, really?
Mm-hmm.
I was almost there. Yeah, boom. That's totally, I think Young Americans came out the following year.
Do you remember your President Nixon?
That's one of my favorite. I mean, I love all of David Bowie's albums, but that's one of my absolute favorite.
David Bowie.
I do enjoy that album.
Really good sex album.
Awesome. I'm going to pull that out next.
No, seriously. Really good. You know?
What's the name? Hey,
those are rare when you can find one that'll keep the mood.
And the tempo.
Yeah, what was the name again? Can I get the full name?
The Young Americans by David Bowie. Young Americans. That or maybe second D'Angelo record, the dubbed out one. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys don't have any good sex albums?
No.
What do you listen to when you
internet
fuck?
Internet label let me down.
You don't have any preference?
No.
You need complete quiet for concentration? Yeah.
I just want to be like, shut the fuck up.
Well, it's hard to like, you can't just put your iPod on shuffle all the time.
Yeah.
At least Rob would have, I imagine it would be hard to go from like.
Probably Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews, that would shrink it for me. I would crawl
maybe
back.
Maybe some Asher Roth.
Retract.
Maybe some David Gray.
Oh, no.
How about some David Guetta? Can I throw some of that guy in there, too?
I don't know if I know that shit. Who's that?
Slap it on.
He's the DJ.
Just hammer away.
That's just like his button. What is this?
This is White Zombie?
Yeah, I love it.
Slayer.
Yeah. Keep it going.
There you go.
This is my jam. Yes.
Just jackhammer the pussy to this.
That's right.
Why are you bleeding? Shut up, bitch.
Shut up! I'm coming to you!
I love this fucking song.
Hey, Merry Fun Christmas. Surprise, you got Slayer.
Yep. I'll show you what I've known. This is where we're coming from.
Ruin the Christmas.
Yeah. We enhanced it. We modified it. We had to throw our spin on it.
A warm fire, Christmas tree, Slayer screaming, God hates you all.
Merry fucking Christmas. Christmas tree's on fire.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Weedsman Podcast. Make sure you subscribe for free by clicking through that iTunes banner and subscribing. Check us out every Tuesday and Friday. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Please, tell somebody. You have to. That's how this works. Numbers are growing every day. We appreciate everything that you do. And stay high.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.